Blog Talk Radio.
What up, everyone? Welcome to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR, Tuesday, June 9th. We've got a lot of stuff to get into today. Can't wait to get started. Got my man, Jose Romero, on the show at about 10 minutes after the hour. Always good to catch up with my man, Romero. He has been in this game a long time. You know him from AP. Lead freelance reporter down here for the AP here in Phoenix. I want to talk some baseball with them and just kind of talk to them about the state of sports right now. Like, what's going on? What's happening with everything? And get his take on it, because if there's anybody with a good pulse of what's happening, it's definitely my man Romero. What else do we have on the topic on the table today? Now, I've said it before, and I'm going to keep repeating this. I've said the reason the NBA should be done is because there's no flow to the rest of the season. I understand the money. I'm not naive. I understand the money. But I have another reason, and I've said it, and I keep saying it, and I'll dictate and show you why. I like the deal, the possible deal that's on the table for baseball. I hope they accept it. I will get into that more as to why. And Dalvin Cook wants to hold out. I'll give you my thoughts on Dalvin Cook as well. We'll do all that right here on the Cave Show with PLR. Like I said, this is PLR, and we are brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School in Chandler Heights. Locally here in Chandler. Get down there and let them know the PLR sent you. They'll take 10% off of your cigar purchase. If for any reason you can't physically get your butt in there, don't worry about it. You can go to Stogie World, StogieWorld.com. Most orders ship within the same day, a magnificent selection. So you have no reason not to get down to Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, or order online and check out the selection that they have there. Now, when you go in, they do serve beer and wine, and you can get a locker room, become a member, and enjoy the member's lounge. And you can do all that at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. And like I said, let them know that PLR sent you, and you will get 10% off of your cigar purchase. So I want to jump right in. I want to talk about Dalvin Cook to start the show. He is not interesting in showing up for the season, unless he gets a new deal. I'm concerned whenever a running back holds out. And I'm concerned for a couple reasons. One, because he has no leverage at all. Contract, he's still on his rookie deal. And he says he wants a reasonable extension. I don't know technically what you would consider reasonable, but I'm worried about him actually getting what he thinks is reasonable. I mean, a dude can flat out ball. I mean, there is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Dude can ball. I mean, we saw what he did before he got hurt his rookie year. And then we saw what he did in an abbreviated season. And then we saw him just, you know, ball out. Now, people are like, oh, well, he's not averaging the same yards per carry. It's right about the same. Let's not split hairs on that. But here's the problem. Outside of Dallas and Carolina, running backs just aren't getting paid. Le'Veon Bell had to sit out a year to get his money. A year. And switch teams. And when, if you saw Pittsburgh play last year, and you saw the Jets play last year, you know damn well there's no way on earth they should have divorced each other. He should have got his money from Pittsburgh. And the place that gave him the money was a bad team. It didn't showcase all his talent because they had no line, they had no receivers, and they have a really young quarterback who's not there yet. Melvin Gordon with the Chargers. Notice I didn't say San Diego. Held out. What did he do? He gave in 4 weeks into the year for a couple reasons. One, Austin Eckler came in and played well. Basically said, I'm not sure if we need you for what you want. He's now in Denver. So it's a lot, man. It's a lot to try to get paid as a running back. Because the NFL doesn't value that position like they used to. They don't treat you like they did in the days of Walter Payton, O.J. Anderson, Earl Campbell, Tony Dorsett, Wilbert Montgomery. Hell, they don't treat you like they did when LaDainian Tomlinson was running around, running over everyone. The object of a team now is to get a good young running back, wear him the hell out, rush him like you can't rush him anymore, and after 5 years, tell him he's too old, you don't want to pay him now. You're not going to see those Ricky Waters back careers anymore. Rashawn Alexander longer careers anymore. You're just not going to see it. That's not what the NFL is about. Now, I want Dalvin Cook, excuse me, to get his money. I want him to get paid. I want him to get the money that he deserves. I just don't think he's going to get it. I think he may get some raise, but Minnesota may say, you know what, the heck with it. You don't want to play under this rookie deal? We're not going to pay you. And it'll be just that simple. That's the problem. That is the problem in a nutshell. Running backs have no leverage, especially young ones. There's no leverage. No matter how good you are, and we know that he's good. We know he's very good. But he has no leverage. He's a running back on a rookie deal. They don't have to pay him. And they're not. Zeke Elliott got paid. He had leverage because he had a different kind of leverage. He had a quarterback that was ready, a team that was ready, or a team at least that thought they were ready. They didn't have a coach, obviously, that was worth anything. They weren't calling good plays, and they kind of poo-pooed the season away. But he got paid because he was considered the missing piece, the last piece to the link to lead Dallas to a Super Bowl. I'm not sure Minnesota feels that same way. That's the problem. That is the problem. I disagree with the NFL. I think you should pay running backs. I think teams with great running backs or very good running backs go further in the playoffs because it is great that you can throw the ball all over the field. I think that's lovely. Looks great. Fantasy, sports love it. But if you can run and you can defend the run, you go far. Look how good Baltimore was last year. Look how good the Niners were last year. Not everyone has an alien as their quarterback, like the Kansas City Chiefs. ASU football coach Herm Edwards always says, the one thing you know, if it's cold, if it's raining, if the weather's good, no matter what, running and defense travels. And I think it's important that Minnesota finds a way to get Dalvin Cook signed to an extension. But I don't think that, as much as I'm on the player side a lot, I'm putting on an owner's hat on this one. I'm not going to pay him right now. I'm going to make him wait one more year. And if he holds out, I hate to say it like this, then he holds out. Anyway, I got my man all set to come on, the one and one, Jose Romero from AP, the lead freelance writer in AP Sports here in Phoenix. And we're going to get him on the air on the Cave Show with PLR in exactly 30 seconds.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
This is Elio Cobo with the Phoenix Suns, and I'm in the Cave with PLR.
Welcome back to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Thank you for joining me this Tuesday afternoon. I am very, very happy to say I got my man on with me now. 23 years. If you look at him, you would think he was about 23 years old. 23 years in the sports writing business, lead freelance writer for AP Sports in Phoenix, and most importantly, my man, my friend, the one and only Jose Romero. Romero, what's up, buddy? Welcome to the Cave Show.
My youth is due to good genes. That's all I can say. my youthful appearance.
Hey, man, 23 years in. Dude, I swear, you look about 30. So you must have started writing at 7. You know there's laws against child labor in this country.
That's good. I like that. Pablo Richardson. Paul Richardson, how you doing, man?
Man, I have never thought that I would miss sports as much as I miss sports. I tried to watch Korean baseball. I've tried to watch repeat games. I'm struggling right now. What about you?
Same. I mean, I tried to watch the KBO too, and I wasn't really sure what to look for. I was just looking for some familiar names, and that really didn't work out. But I'm like you. I'm watching a lot of reruns. Old games. The old games have been good to see. The hardwood classics are great, man. I mean, I know you can dig back.
Yes.
So. And there just hasn't been work, even the regular staff AP guys aren't doing a whole lot of work. And so obviously I'm not, I'm just here and, taking on a part-time job, trying to make ends meet, and I'll get back to it soon enough. I know things will get back, but, until then, we're just biding our time and waiting for sports to come back, just like you.
I hear you, man. The one thing I like about Hardwood Classics, I try not to watch games that I know the outcome. So I love it when they show like those old ABA games when I have no idea who won the game and I can sit there and watch it fresh. But when they show like, a Chicago Bulls game, like a Jordan game 5, I'm like, they won this game. I'll watch it. Oh, they lost this game. I'm not watching that. So I like the unknown hardwood classic games. Plus, I think it helps young fans understand that basketball can still be played not just by today's guys, but they did actually play basketball in the early 70s.
Yeah, that was the best part for me. That's the Last Dance, the ESPN thing. The best part for me was seeing all those players in the 90s, 80s and 90s, just seeing them on a TV screen again playing. you know, Charles Oakley and John Starks and, you know, Clyde the Glide and Terry Porter and all the old sons from the early 90s. That was the best part for me, was just getting to relive the guys that I remember when I was younger.
Well, let me ask you this question. I know I want to ask you some baseball stuff, but let me ask you this about basketball.
Yeah.
So I said this last week with on the show on Inside Sports podcast with Joanna Rosalie, and you know Joanna. And I said basketball to me is kind of messing this up. I understand why they have to play. I'm not naive. I understand they have to fulfill that contract. Otherwise, the sponsors can ask to renegotiate, and now you're looking at money, and that's why they're doing this bullcrap 22 teams in, knowing that the Spurs aren't making the playoffs without LaMarcus Aldridge. They already know that. They know certain teams aren't going to do much of anything because they got key players missing. But they got to fulfill that contract to stay away from renegotiating. But once you do that and you bring back a season that's technically not going to play all of March, all of April, all of May, all of June, all of July, that's 6 months. To me, to bring back that season, there's no real natural flow. There's nothing that ties it back to the season. So I've often said, I'd rather see them just kick off and start anew. But they're not. But by doing this, they're now going to condense next year. And I've been saying that from the beginning, and people have been looking at me like I'm crazy. But I talked to a couple people that said, there's no way they're going to finish the season in October, get back rolling 2 months later, and be able to squeeze in 82 games. So now they're saying, yeah, well, we want to squeeze in 82 because we don't want to lose the money. You know what's going to happen when the players start having to do 4 games in 5 nights. Every other day is going to be load management, which is going to be the worst kind of basketball ever. There has to be something in between, because I don't want to see that, to be perfectly honest with you. What are your thoughts?
I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm thinking just right off the top of my head, I'm thinking roster, you know, expanded rosters, you know, maybe the G League becomes even more important here, where they let some of those guys come up and, you know, play some of the, get extended minutes in those four games in five night situations. I mean, yeah, it's not always going to be pretty, but I mean, you know, it's the sacrifice that I guess they have to make in order to fulfill those obligations. It's tough. I hear you. I mean, I think there is definitely merits to the argument of let's just scrap it, you know, and just come back anew next season in October and, you know, stick with the calendar. But at the same time, like the sports fan, I mean, just I can't wait, man. I got to see this stuff. I want to see this again. I want to see playoffs. I want to see something meaningful. And, you know, there's definitely good arguments both ways. But, man, the sports fan in me just can't let go.
I'm with you. I know Kerry Lackey Law Line, one, the only Jose Romero, AP Sports, lead freelance writer here in the Phoenix area. I'm with you, my man. I'm with you. I got to see something. To me, though, it's like almost two seasons. You know what I mean? It's like I almost wish they said, okay, this season is done. We're going to have a mini season, and we're going to run with it, and then we'll start another season. It just doesn't seem fresh. Now, here's my problem, though, with the condensed games. We talk about watching all these old basketball games. I remember, and I think it was 99 when they locked the players out, or there was a strike or whatever, and they played those 50 games, and there were times where they had to play back-to-back-to-back. I don't remember load management, and I'm a big hater of load management. And maybe you could explain to me one more time, how is it, and I'm old now, I'm on the other side of 50, so explain it to me, how is it that guys that played in low tops, flew commercial in the late 70s, rode buses, how is it they could play back-to-back-to-back, or take these long bus and playing rides, or even in the 90s when a lot of teams did fly on private jets, they could still play back-to-back, still play 82 games. And I don't remember Jordan looking tired or Barkley looking tired or Bird or Magic looking tired in the playoffs. Please explain to me why they can't do this now with all the luxuries they have, including the cooks, the chefs, the trainers, everything. Please explain this to me.
Yeah, it's a whole new world, right? I mean, everything is now all about, you got guys taking games off, you know, just to get the rest. You know, I look at it as I'm always on the side of the fans. I want what the fans want. And, you know, if the fans want basketball, give them basketball. If the fans want to see the star, you know, buy tickets to see the star play, then the star should play. And, you know, I don't want to say the word, you know, not lazy, but, you know, just times have changed so much. And yeah, man, we come from an era, you and I, of where, you know, those guys would play no matter what, play all 82 games, play the playoffs, first round, second round, conference finals. And that's just what it was. That was part of the deal. When you sign the contract, that's what you're expected to do. So there's kind of a prima donna element to it now, man. But I don't know how to, I can't explain it. I would like to say that these guys, you know, can deal with any situation and play three games in a row and come back, you know, and deal with a condensed season. But there's bound to be gripes about that once we get to next December or in December and start the 2021 season.
I heard Jalen Rose say today, and I've heard him say it before, and I actually agree with him. He says the basketball calendar should be moved up anyway. And basketball shouldn't fight football in October, November, and December anyway. Basketball should start later in the calendar year, more around December, so that way by Christmas Day, which everyone watches basketball on Christmas Day, I think they show about, you know, six games back to back to back. That's almost the unofficial start of the season. He said, why not start the year in December? And instead of ending in June, you end in July, because it always will have more eyes than baseball. You're not competing with basketball. It's basically a summer sport anyway. You're playing in shorts and a tank top. Why not push the calendar back for basketball and let that go that way anyway? And now, because of all this, this may be the perfect time to actually do that. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I pretty much everything that comes out of Jalen Rose's mouth, I tend to agree with. I know he's got, you know, he's got his flash points and he says some things, you know, but I mean, how are you going to argue with a what's that called, a Fab Five guy? I mean, he's been in the league, man. He played for a long time, and he knows what it takes. And so, I would welcome that. I mean, October is a great month, though, right? I mean, isn't it? You got the MLB World Series, the playoffs, and World Series going on. NHL starts in October. NBA starts in October. You know, you got college football getting into the swing of the conference schedule. And of course the NFL. So October's great already. That's probably the best month of sports. Period. But
yeah, I think we're being gluttonous though. We're going that's when you go to Vegas and you go to the all you can eat buffet. But you can go back. But you still top your plate off. But you can go back. So why not just, you know, tone it down a little bit and we'll kick basketball back, and that way once, you know, baseball ends and hockey ends, now you're ramping it up. So you don't have to just get a little bit of steak, a little bit of potatoes, a little bit of mac and cheese, a little bit of dessert. Now you can just get one big plate of just one thing or a couple things and, I, you know, be a complete glutton to everything.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with it. I would welcome that. I would love to have another option during the summer. You know, I love watching baseball. I do. But I would love to have something else to watch, you know, another sport to watch in the middle of the summer. That'd be great.
On the Kerry Lackey Law Line, Cape Show with PLR, the one and only Jose Romero. Like I said, the 30-year-old is claiming he's been doing this for 23 years. Free freelance writer, AP Sports in Phoenix. So I usually am like you. I side on the side with the players, usually. And I was with the players all the way. Now I'm kind of flip-flopping. I like the owners 75-game. Players get 75% of their salary without any type of prorate whatsoever. I actually really do like that. If the players now balk at this, are they going to be the ones that look bad?
Well, the players, like they look at this, you know, like what they get per game check, right? Like how much they get per game. And when there are fewer games, you know, there's not as much money. There's not as much money. There isn't that daily game check, I guess. I'm not sure. I'm guessing they don't get a daily game check. But if you look at it in terms of what they get per game, the fewer games, the fewer, you know, the fewer amount of money that they receive. So I just, when I saw that they wanted to, they floated the 114 game, I'm like, no way, man, come on. The owners aren't going to go for that at all. And, you know, you can't just play doubleheaders and stuff on weekends. Although that would be cool. I'd love to see an old school doubleheader again.
Old school doubleheader. Why not play two?
Yeah. Ernie Banks, right? So, So I'm with you. I understood. I was more on the side of the players in the beginning. And then, to me, it just seems like the owners are trying a little bit harder to make this thing work. And the players are just kind of, you know, thumbing their nose at everything. And, you know, I'm sure they have their reasons why, and I'm sure they're trying to stay unified, and I get it. But I don't see the players, you know, really countering with a lot of positive stuff out on social media saying, you know, hey, what we really want is this, and we're trying to get this, and here's why. I'm just looking at it as objectively as possible. You know, neither side is right. I just want to see them play. And I can't understand how they can't come to some sort of agreement that fits everybody and allows everybody to come out and play. If they can play without fans in Korea and Taiwan, and they're planning to do it in Japan, and it's okay, you know, baseball's back in those places, they should be able to do it here. This is America's game, man, and this was the game. This is our national pastime. You got to find a way to bring it back.
You know, you said something that makes a lot of sense. The players knew that 114 games wasn't going to work just by looking at the calendar. I mean, if you just look at the calendar, there's your enemy for 114 games. You figure right now, if they agreed right now, June 9th, they said, okay, we can agree. Let's get everyone back as soon as possible. You got to figure it's going to take 10 days just to get everyone back from Korea, from Japan, from the Dominican, from Mexico, from Puerto Rico, from, you know, from Venezuela, to get everyone back and get everyone tested and make sure everyone is healthy. You got to factor in a minimum of 10 days just for that. So now we're June 19th. You throw in a couple weeks of spring training because pitchers got to get their arms right. Otherwise, we're going to have all other issues. We're already into July. So you haven't even scheduled all your games. So if you play July, August, and September, 90 days, that's 90 games right there. So they knew 114 wasn't going to work. You know what? I hate stupid suggestions. It's like going to your wife and saying, babe, you mind if I stay out till 4 a.m. tonight? Don't ask me where I'm going. I just want to know if you mind if I stay out till 4. You knew it was a stupid-ass question as soon as you said it. So the players knew that. And I think this is where sometimes they should shut up. Baseball should shut up. We heard nothing from the NHL. They got a deal done. We're very little from the NBA other than the positive train rolling. The baseball, man, again, they're doing it to themselves again.
Yeah, this is just another example of, you know, baseball just sliding back into, you know, obscurity. When strikes hit baseball, people didn't come to the park. People didn't watch the games. And we're heading down that same road. It's not a strike situation, labor situation, but it's a thing where they're going to lose fans. And if they can't find a way to come back or at least, you know, make the fans seem like they care about playing the game, people are going to go away. Attendance is already an issue in a lot of places, you know?
Yeah.
And so this is just another one of those things that's making baseball look bad all across the country. And, you know, quite honestly, there's a lot bigger things going on in this country right now. You know, but God, it sure would be nice to have baseball back because baseball unifies, man. I mean, it's an international game, and you can cheer. You know, you could be a white person and love a Dominican guy, and you could be a black person and love a Mexican guy. You know, vice versa, et cetera, et cetera. And it's a unifying game, man. And
yeah,
and that's one of the reasons I like to see it come back.
So if I said to you, yay or nay, do they get their crap together and does baseball come back this year?
I'm going to say I'm on the side of 60-40 with no, they don't. I think maybe a couple weeks ago I thought, okay, there's a deadline coming up. They're going to figure out a way. We're going to do this. And every time I hear somebody else talk or tweet, you know, my view gets more negative. And so, you know, they just can't seem to. And then you've got Scott Boras, you know, the agent of all the super agent, putting in his 2 cents. And with all these different voices and no one person standing up and saying, you know, yep, this is how we're going to do this. Let's get it done. I just don't see it happening.
Yeah. Yeah, on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Here on the Game Show with PLR, Jose Romero, 23-year veteran of sports, the lead freelance writer for the AP here in Phoenix. Two more, and I'll let you get out of here. How come, is a serious one and a non-serious one, does the NFL owe Colin Kaepernick an apology?
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. I don't understand how Roger Goodell could come out with that statement and not say in there, I apologize to Colin Kaepernick. Do you know how much more respect and goodwill he would have fostered just by saying that one statement? I mean, look, we both know, and I can't speak for you, Paul, but we know he got screwed here. We know he got shafted. We know that because he decided to take a stand and kneel down, you know, in support of or against racism and police brutality, that he was blackballed for it. I mean, how can that be argued? And so Roger Goodell had a chance here, and he had an epiphany of some sorts, but he didn't take that epiphany all the way. And he could have easily just said in that apology or that statement that we were wrong and Colin Kaepernick, we should have done more to reach out and work with him and you know, get him a place back in the NFL where he deserves to be. And now I think the ship has sailed. I think if I'm Colin Kaepernick, I don't know if I take an offer from a team, because it's like, why now? Why after all this, why would I come back and give my all and my body for your league now?
Yeah.
So there's my answer.
Have we been too hard? I guess it is too serious question. Have we been too hard or not hard enough on Drew Brees for what he said and then his apology? And in saying that, do you believe his apology, or do you think he just said it because of the backlash he got from it?
I don't think we've been too hard. I think, you know, the NFL is a majority black league. And, you know, right now, any voice deserves to be heard in any forum at any time about any issue. It's a black voice. And if they are feeling, the players are feeling that Drew Brees went against them when, you know, the majority of his teammates are black, they deserve the right to speak out and criticize what he said. I do have to, on the flip side, give Drew Brees a lot of credit because he does do a lot of things in this community. He's been a very, you know, active person in New Orleans, you know, and that's a tough place, man. That's a tough city. That is
yeah,
a city that's gone through a lot. And Drew Brees has stepped up for his community, to his credit. But you can't excuse the statement in terms of how it affected teammates and other black players around the NFL. If that's how it affected them and how it rubbed them, then it wasn't the right thing to say. So, you know, he deserved the criticism he got. He walked it back, to his credit. You know, maybe that wasn't genuine, and maybe there was a lot of voices in his ear saying, Drew, you gotta walk this back. You gotta say something. But you know, someone once told me that the first thing that comes out of your mouth is always the truth. You know, the first
it
thing
is.
That pops into your head, you blurt something out, then that's how you really feel.
Yep.
And that's kind of how I look at Drew Brees.
You know what? I don't like fake apologies. And you know this because you have kids. It's like when you tell one of your kids, go apologize, and they walk up to their sibling and go, sorry. And you're like, say it like you mean it. And they go, sorry. And you're like, I said, say it like you meant it. And they're like, okay, fine, sorry. And it's like, you know, they never meant it. They just knew that
right.
it was either, you know, fill it from you or say it. So to me, I'd rather have someone tell me how they feel and leave it at that. I would much rather, and if he evolves from it, I think everyone has a right to evolve their thoughts. Because what we thought when we were 20 is definitely, and single, isn't what we think as married with kids. They're two different thoughts. I understand that. I just have always had a hard time believing thoughts evolve very clearly overnight. So I think that's where my problem comes in. I don't think he's a bad guy. I think he's a great guy. I think when the hurricane hit, he stepped up like there was no tomorrow. So I'm with you on that. I just think you can't evolve in one night. I think that's my issue. And the same with the NFL. I don't think the NFL, I don't think, honestly, I think if there wasn't a Super Bowl winning quarterback and Watson and some of the other players, all frontline players that stepped up, I don't think Roger Goodell would have said that either. I think when you have a Super Bowl winning black quarterback making a PSA along with Odell Beckham, along with Deshaun Watson, I think you have to scramble quickly and put something together. I don't think that just happened out of nowhere. So I think there's a lot that goes into that. My hope is that the kneeling part of it doesn't get re-hijacked again by the person on Black Lives Matter Avenue. Because it's almost like you keep saying it, 118 degrees aside. Oh, it's about to snow. 118 degrees aside. It's about to snow. It's not going to snow, dude. It's 118 degrees. The kneeling has nothing to do with the flag. Oh, and you're not disrespecting the anthem. It has nothing to do with the flag.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you're just repeating it. Last question, though, is a fun question, I promise. How come you never see a friend of mine asked me this, and I have to think about it for a minute, and I really never get answered. How come you never see brothers wearing white dudes' jerseys? Like, you'll see guys with Jordan jerseys. You'll see brothers with, like, you know, LeBron jerseys. But how come you never see a brother rocking, like, a Doncic or a Bird or a Marino or a Brady? Why is that?
I don't know. You want to know the question that popped into my head when you said that?
Was it
Do the Right Thing where Giancarlo Esposito is out there and he's yelling? He's like, who said you could stand in front of my brownstone? Who said you could have a Larry Bird or whatever it was he said? And then the whole crowd goes,
yeah.
Ah. the guy with the mic was holding was wearing a Larry Bird jersey and biking.
I remember.
So I thought that was like a New York Knicks versus Boston Celtics thing, but now I kind of look, now that I look back on it, I'm like, okay, it was like rage. That's a great question, man. I guess I'm trying to think if I've ever seen that, and I maybe once or twice in my life. And even then, if I saw it, I was probably shocked.
It's the truth. I have a friend that has a Brady jersey, and I give him a hard time all the time. I'm like, dude, you are the only black dude in America with the white guy jersey. And it's not a racist thing at all. It's just, you just never see it. So I'm like, made me think about it. I'm like, maybe I'm not the only one, but even, you just said, you can see cats with Pittsburgh Steelers jerseys all the time. No brother puts a Roethlisberger jersey on. Why?
Well, look at the times in which we live now. That could change, man. That could really start to change because a lot of white people have come out and been pretty supportive. I mean, Steve Nash has been in the corner of people of color for a long time, man. That's a guy that I being a Mexican American, I'd rock a Steve Nash jersey any day. So,
yeah.
He spoke out a lot when SB 1070 came out. And that warmed my heart. So, but you know, I mean, who could be surprised now? You could walk down the street tomorrow and see a guy wearing what was the guy Mario Hezonja jersey? I bet you there's black. How about we should campaign? We should campaign to say, you know, if you're black and you want to buy a white person jersey, Aaron Baines, man.
That's your guy. There's your guy.
I mean, he's walked the walk, you know. He's talked the talk, and he's trying to walk the walk.
Yeah, man. I just thought that was funny because I'm looking around, and I look at my friends, and we show up at a sports bar, and I started thinking, you know, draft day. And it's the only way it goes because, you see, white guys with every jersey. It doesn't matter to them. But when I thought about all the brothers I know with jerseys, not one. Not one. I'm like, except one dude that has a Brady jersey. That's it. So I just thought it was a fun question. I figured I'd ask you.
No, I'm with you. I don't think I know anybody that even has that. You know, somebody with a Brady. I don't think I know anybody who has a black person that has a Brady jersey. So credit to
you.
Yo,
man. Hey,
he's a fan.
Hey, you know. Hey, man. I appreciate you being on. I know you're an '80s music guy. If the Jets came to town, would you go see them?
The Jets from Minneapolis? Oh, absolutely.
No,
they were
the Jets.
They were
the
first. Yeah, the Tongans from Minneapolis. Exactly.
Yeah,
yes. I saw them. That was one of the first shows I ever saw. I was like a little kid, and they came to the Oregon State Fair, and my parents didn't want to pay the extra $5 to go into the amphitheater to watch the show, right? So we stood on the outside of the amphitheater, and we could see the Jets performing on the stage, and there they were. You know, I got a crush on you. So, you know, they're up there doing their thing, and it was beautiful, man. And I was like, man, those guys are not white. They're not black. And then I realized they're Polynesian, and they're singing awesome R&B songs. So, yes, the answer to your question, if the Jets came to town, I'd be there. Minneapolis.
All right, man, I'll tell you
great
what.
Music scene.
If the Jets come to town, we double date with the wives, and we go check them out.
Oh, I'm with you. Yes, we're in.
All right, buddy.
Yes, let's call them. Let's call their booking people.
Let's make it. Hey, you know, you got it all over him. You know, every time you look at your wife, just look at her and say, you should sing this song to me every day, baby. Just sing it to me every day.
I think my wife would roll her eyes at the thought of it, but she'd go. She'd go do it because if I want to sing, she'd do it.
Yo, man, I cannot wait. We should not. We can't wait for sports to hook up. So we got to get together soon. Sports or no sports. And man, your family's getting big, man. You have beautiful kids, beautiful family, man. I'm glad everyone
Thank
is
so
healthy during this crazy time. So very cool, man.
Yeah,
I appreciate you coming on. And
the boy is going to start basketball in a couple weeks. He's starting basketball.
There you
this
go.
Summer, so.
There you go. Get them in shape. Get them working. Yeah, when they
exactly.
get older, I coach. A lot of people don't know that, but I actually coach. I got a team that plays AAU. So when you're ready for them to get some of that Chicago style hoops, a little bit more physical, send them over to Chandler. I got them covered.
You reach, I teach. I'm calling.
You got it. Yo, Romero, I appreciate you, bro. Always I
All
do,
right,
man.
Paul.
Yo, good
you.
To catch up
How
with you.
You.
Yes, sir.
Thank
you too. Talk to you soon. All righty.
All right.
That's
Bye-bye.
My man there. Bye-bye. The one, the only, Jose Romero. I'm telling you, look at my man's IG page, and you will believe, I'm telling you, you would think he is like 30 years old today. You got to check him out. You got to follow him. He's a very, very good dude. His IG is Romero Jose M. Check him out. Check him out on Twitter. We're back in 30 seconds. We're going to close this show out. Everyone, be right back on The Cave Show with PLR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
Hey, this is Mikal Bridges with the Phoenix Suns. I'm in a cave with PLR.
Welcome back to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Don't forget, if you missed any part of this show, You can always check us out again on replay over on KSRM. Make sure you download that app. Great content, full of sports talk radio stuff, full of music. So make sure you check it out, KSRN, download the app. What a great show we had today. More guests lined up for you tomorrow. Hey, listen, make sure you peep out the Instagram today. We got a great throwback video to a true legend in the game. Like I say, kids, basketball didn't start with Kobe and LeBron. It's been going on for a while. On this day, June 9th, 1981, the one and only Mark McGuire was drafted into the NBA by the Dallas Mavericks. Check out one of his clips. I loaded it up on Instagram. You can follow us on the IG, on the Twitter, and on the Facebook fan page at the Sports Cave. Cave is always with the K. And you definitely can get us on our website, thesportscave.com, where Cave is with the K. Appreciate my man. Join us today, Jose Romero, freelance writer, lead freelance writer for AP Sports covering Phoenix. Like I said, we'll have another headliner tomorrow for you. We'll have more stuff to get into, the way of the world that's going on. You can get me directly on the Twitter at PLR on sports. Like I said, I don't just talk sports on my Twitter. So if you get offended, not my problem. Said that with a smile, but I do love you. Until tomorrow, this has been the K-Show with PLR. This is PLR. All calls made today were made always via the Kerry Lackey Law Line. We'll check you out tomorrow on Hump Day. Everyone, have a great rest of your Tuesday.